Hi, everybody. It's Wayne with Mark and Areeb, and we are so excited that you've come to watch the Eat Community Podcast. We know you're going to enjoy it. We actually did it live originally on our Eat Community webinar series, which we also invite you to come to, but you will love this podcast that you're going to be listening to right now. Hey, everyone, this is Wayne, and I got Mark with me, and I'm bouncing all over the place. I think I'm going to die. No, not really. I am on a little section of road after having been out doing one of my passions, which is training dogs, and I'm going to be off of this section of road in just a second. Last week, I came to you from California. This week, I am back in Idaho, beautiful Idaho, 80 degrees. It's going to be later today. I'm going to turn on the highway here. I do think I might go through a short section of highway. How is everybody on this Thursday where I am in the world? So on if you're somewhere in the world where it's not Thursday.
It's Friday here.
Tell us where you're at. So a lot goes where you're at, Mark.
Yeah.
Anybody else, Mark, that you see that says it's a different day where they're at?
No, I don't see anybody typing anything yet. So I know everybody's regular. So right. I know where they're at.
they're all in North America or South America, maybe.
Yeah.
So this is our Talk with Wayne session. And again, I've got topics that I would love to talk about, but I'd love to hear your topics rather than mine. So put in some questions, raise your hand, do anything that would get Mark so he sees you're there, and we'll let you either come on and talk or you can ask your questions. So what has happened over the last week in the environmental world? A big thing happened here in the United States. Anybody know what that was? One big law that has changed something pretty significantly. Anybody know what that is? I'm giving people time to Google it, Mark, so then they can say.
Well, okay.
You have any idea, Mark? We haven't talked about it.
No. Actually, I have no. I didn't know anything about that. I have no clue.
Well, what it is the Department of Environmental Protection, the EPA agency, has now fully banned the use of asbestos in any kind of product in the United States. Now, some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, asbestos has been banned forever. Nope, not really. Asbestos was banned from certain kinds of materials. By the way, there must be I'm going to turn my camera around. I hope this isn't totally gruesome, but there's an accident right in front of me that is blocking the entire highway. I hope I end up stopping in a place that's a good signal area. Mark, where's the turn it around button on there? Let me see.
So I hope this accident doesn't delay your your journey back home.
No, but I didn't get to turn it around and show you. It's flipped over in the road, and I don't even know where it's taking me here. I have never been on this road, but it looks like it's a back road. And I didn't get my camera turned around. That was not the – I hit the wrong device. Mark, where's it at on our screen when to flip your camera? Where is it?
You should have a on your phone. You should have a camera that, you know, on this screen that I don't have a option to flip, but maybe on your phone you have option to change camera.
I've got one where I can start a video.
Right.
And I'm not seeing it. Let me see settings. Enable chat. Well, you can't see it now anyway. It's past. This is a kind of pretty area, and it is spring, so the buds are on the trees, and I really would rather you see that than seeing me. But anyway, I'll leave it here. Driving by a field with a bunch of cows in it right now. Anyway, the US EPA put in a complete ban on asbestos. And that means in brake pads, in certain kinds of adhesives, asbestos is actually used. Interestingly, you wouldn't think this, but in some kinds of drinks, can you believe that? It's now, and I did not look this up. Somebody maybe that it's in the audience could do this. I don't know when the ban goes in effect, but it is 1984, so 40 years ago, is when the first ban on asbestos occurred. Through what's called the AHERA Act, Asbestos Hazard Emergency Response Act, AHERA. And it banned asbestos in things like floor tiles and ceiling tiles and pipe coverings and all kinds of other things of that nature. And now it's doing it in one material in particular that I've always said, if you're standing out on a street corner, anytime you're getting exposed to asbestos. You may not realize it, but you are. Because when people break, when they hit their brakes, there is asbestos on the brake pads, and that asbestos is going to come up in the air, and you're going to be breathing it. So that's been the case forever. And now whenever this ban takes effect, which usually is at least a year out, so probably a year from now, maybe a little less than that, then you will have had that ban. I'm putting the phone now because now I'm about half a mile from where that wreck is, and they're taking all the traffic on this road. All right. Well, I don't know how I flip my camera. I'm going to try this. Nope, that turned it off. Well, whatever I hit turned it off. I didn't mean to do that. Mark, could you do a Google search and do a Google search for asbestos ban in the U.S.?
Okay.
Let's see if we can find an article that says when it takes place.
We have found that today, March 18, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, announced a final rule on prohibit ongoing users the crystallite asbestos, the only known form of asbestos currently used in or imported to the United States. I'm going to read this article. So, it says,
go ahead, keep going.
Okay, so it says, let me see. So this is today, March 18, 2024, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, announced a final rule to prohibit ongoing users of crystallite asbestos, the only known form of asbestos currently used in imported to the United States. The ban on ongoing users of asbestos is the first rule to be finalized under the 2015 amendments, or 16, to the nation's chemical safety law, the Toxic Substance Control Act, TSCA, which is near
Where is it? Is it kind of skim through it and say, does it say when it will take effect? When does this ban? I'll describe it in a little more detail for everybody when you're done. So,
all right. So, yeah, I'm going through this. And
this is probably boring to most of you, but it's not. This is huge. This could create a huge amount of testing needs because the EPA is going to want to figure out how they make sure people follow this rule.
So I don't see anything about when it's going to be effective.
All right.
I don't see anything about that. So,
all right. Well, we'll look it up. I'm about ready to park, and then I'm going to be able to make sure the signal stays strong throughout the rest of it. I'm in the parking lot of an Albertsons grocery store. We'll give some kind of a prize to anyone who can tell us where did the company Albertsons get born. So where did the first Albertsons store exist?
I think New York, right?
Now parking. I'll just tell you, Mark's wrong.
Okay.
I am now parked, so we'll be, and I got a good signal here. It's cool. I wonder how I flip this camera. I wish I could do that. I'm not finding, because then when I put it close to me, it's huge. I mean, it just shows only a part of my head. Usually there's a little icon that shows you how you flip your camera.
Yeah, it should be
That turned it off.
So on your iPhone, I think it should be on the homepage, like when you go to the cameras. Does it give you an option which camera you want to use?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, if it does, I don't see it. Anyway, Mark, any questions that you see from people?
Yeah, I see several people put in happy spring. Hello, spring flowers are in bloom. I see that getting most out of the cover crops. Lessons learned from delayed termination of strategies such as planting green and roller camping of NJ farms. So must mean New Jersey. Okay. Not really questions, just comments. So today is the starting of spring, so the day when we have equal days and nights. It's called the equinox, I think. I think that's the word. So equal 12-hour days and nights. Yeah, so start of spring.
It actually started at 9:22 or something like that last night.
Oh, okay.
Here. So it's we're still in the first full day of spring, which is right. So it means we have what? Yeah. What does that mean, everybody? What is the same today? Same hours of darkness, 12, and light, 12.
Yep. And light, yes. Both the hemispheres, right?
Yeah, in both hemispheres. But I don't know that that means everywhere. Is it right?
Yeah, it doesn't mean everywhere because it could be like if you're closer to the Arctic, I think.
Yeah, if you're closer to either one of the poles, that changes. I think it's probably on the equator. I think it's exactly 12 and 12 on the equator. All right. Well, let's see if anybody answer the question of where did Joe Albertson, that's the name of the guy, by the way, where did Joe Albertson start the very first Albertson store? And you guys have had plenty of time to Google it, so you can get the question right.
Yeah, nobody got that.
Are we ready for me to tell, Mark?
Yeah, I think they had enough time to Google it.
Yeah. In Burley, Burley, Idaho. And that is a town of
Idaho.
10,000 people or so where Joe was living. And he founded the very first store there. Most people that even know anything about it will say, well, no, it started in Boise. And they will even show you where the first Albertson store is in Boise. And they're right, but that's not the very first one. He actually put that in Burley, which was his home. And then he moved to Boise, not even like the next year. I mean, several years later. And he built a second Boise Albertson store. And then he moved there permanently. So back in the 80s, when I lived here previously, I used to run by the Albertsons headquarters, which was on a running route that I did. And at 6 a.m., and Joe Albertson was 80-something years old then, 6 in the morning, you would see the light in his office that would be on because I knew where his office was. And his gold Mercedes was parked out in the far corner of their parking lot so that he actually walked a long way into the office. It'd be the only car there because they wouldn't open up until at least 8. And he would be, there'd be lights on in his office and Joe Albertson's would be in at 6 a.m. So he was very passionate about the Albertsons business. So, and it was founded in Burley, Idaho. And Corey said he could hear both of us. So it looks like he was still hearing me. I actually I went out and came back in, Mark. So I don't know what went on there. Corey,
yeah,
go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, something went wrong. I wasn't hearing you and then wasn't seeing your picture even. So now it's back. Yeah.
Corey, I think that I have got Areeb, who's another one of our staff, that's scheduling a meeting for you and I. Corey's a new member of both EAT and of EPN, which I want to talk about in a little bit, if nobody else has some topics. And so I'll go to that in just a second. Anybody have any other topics? So we've been talking about asbestos and the ban of asbestos. that's now been expanded. So let me say, I said I explained. It's actually chrysotile is the material that Mark was talking about. I will tell you, it's no big deal that he said crystallite, because it looks that way. It's easy to pronounce it that way. It is the least toxic of the different forms of asbestos, but it's still toxic and still can cause problems. And I've said this before, but it's worth saying again because it's not something that you hear too much publicly. Asbestos is probably the easiest of all of our contaminants to be able to prove if a person gets ill from it, that it was asbestos that they got exposed to. Does that make sense? Put in a one if you understand what I mean by that. So if you come down with a disease, and it's really just two, mesothelioma, really, it's three, lung cancer, and mesothelioma is a form of lung cancer, and asbestosis, any one of those three, especially asbestosis and mesothelioma, you know that that person, whoever has that disease, has been exposed to asbestos. You can't get either asbestosis or mesothelioma from anything other than exposure to asbestos. Because of that, it's been really easy to litigate, sue companies that manufacture asbestos, because if a person has either mesothelioma or asbestosis, you know they've been exposed. So now you just have to figure out where was it that they were exposed. And it creates a lawyer's dream in the litigation world. Nothing else can cause asbestosis or mesothelioma. And they are both forms of lung disease, both of which occur many years after you're exposed, 20 typically, 20 years. So if a person gets exposed to asbestos, the diseases don't show themselves for 20 more years later. And that's why it's called an old person's disease, just because you're typically going to get exposed in the workplace. And if you are, you're not going to get the disease until years later. Those two diseases are, I guess I mentioned, lung oriented. And asbestosis is not always fatal. In fact, a lot of people will survive asbestosis. Mesothelioma is always fatal, and it will kill you. Maybe you'll last a little longer, but anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned briefly something about an illness, and whether it's environmentally caused or not, I don't know, but one of our staff members, John Nillen, who I've mentioned in a number of webinars, was diagnosed about 2 weeks ago with colon cancer. And yesterday he had surgery to remove his colon. And prior to that, the doctors had said that it probably would be as much as a 10-hour surgery. And there was at least a chance that he wouldn't make it through the surgery. Very dangerous surgery. So he did make it through, which is very cool. And he is now healing in the hospital. And the surgery only took 5 hours rather than 10. And I've not talked to him yet, but I've talked to his wife. And he is in pain, but he is recovering. So that's a very, very good thing. Mark, would you pull up the two EPN websites, One, Environmental Professionals Network, and two, EPNCommunity.com, both of them. Pull up EPN first, pull up Environmental Professionals Network. Tell me when it's up, Mark, because I'm using my phone.
Yeah, it'll be a second. I just typed it in, so it's coming up. Okay. So, environmental.
Make sure to put an S on professionals.
All right.
By the way, that's way too long of a URL. And we bought that URL at least 10 years ago, maybe longer.
Yeah. Okay, I will share my screen. Okay, here it comes.
Oh, I do see it. Cool. I'm just down in the corner. It's very cool. So this site, scroll down, Mark. And just show people the cover page, the home page. And we're getting close to the bottom of it. And guess whose name was there? Back up a little, Mark, just a little farther up. John Nellen. That's the fellow we were just talking about. And and so now click on the blog up at the top, Mark. And then when you get to that, let's go back and see. Go into the archives.
All right. Let me go to...
They're going to be down there somewhere. There's going to be archives.
Yeah, right here.
Find when the very go find when we wrote our very first blog article, and see how long ago. I'm guessing it was 2011.
Yeah, somewhere there. Because I joined in 2012, maybe. So I think doesn't go before. 13, September 13 is the first one that shows YEPN. So this one was written September
11, 2013. Ah, okay. Well, that means you were around, Mark. You might have wrote this even.
I don't remember doing this, but maybe.
Long time ago. So
right.
But at that time, we really didn't know what we were going to do with it, other than it's a great web name, a good place to put blogs, and we built the website. It's been modified through the years, but I was living in Berthoud then. We had our Berthoud, Colorado, which is where we moved from in December. We had an office. For all of our businesses, the SEED group of businesses, Center for Economic Excellence and Development, in a big warehouse in a place called Campion, Colorado. And we were doing all kinds of different environmental things, but our biggest efforts then were in aquaculture. And we had... In 2013 and 14, the largest shrimp farm, indoor shrimp farm. Sorry about that. I opened my door thinking that I got to open a window. It's kind of cool. It's actually getting warm in my truck. And I got to open a window to cool it down in here. There we go. anyway, we were growing shrimp. We had a greenhouse where we did hydroponics and aquaponics and doing environmental projects all over the country. We had just given up on a chance to buy a property in Qatar, the country of Qatar, where we would be doing a large shrimp aquaculture facility. And we had given up because Qatar was corrupt and they wanted us to take all kinds of bribes. And we were just not willing to do that or give all kinds of bribes. And what else? We were doing webinars. We would do what we called
huddles.
What do we call that, Mark? The huddles. Yeah, yes. We called it the economics huddle. But not regularly. And we had the greenhouses that were across the street from where our offices were. And, you know, that was the business. So we started EPN then. All right. Now, this site is really just an introductory site where you would look at blogs and find out a little bit more about what EPN is. But we created in 2020, so just 4 years ago, less than 4 years ago, epncommunity.com. So why don't you go to that site?
Okay.
And this site is one where we haven't broadly advertised it yet, but it's where you can go and learn a lot more about what we now are doing with EPN. And you can join it for free, by the way. And I know at least one of you on the call has recently joined, Corey. And I would encourage all of you to, because we are going to be creating something that, if it goes well, could become the most influential environmental consulting company in the world. Big dream. And those of you who know me very well know that I'm a big dreamer. So scroll down the page, Mark, just so people can see. This is actually, that other site is built on what's a platform called WordPress. This site is built on the platform we've done a lot of more things recently called Kajabi. And we'll probably continue to build it out as we add services and members on Kajabi. Mark, while I'm talking here, pull up in another tab and then I'll have you go to it in a little bit. Pull up the spreadsheet, not the where it is on the EPN site, but for BidNet. Just these sheet, the Google sheet that's got the spreadsheet for BidNet on it.
Okay.
Of those of you who know anything about the environmental consulting industry generally, and I'll define what I think it means to be a professional in the environmental consulting world. You know that 50 years ago, that whole industry didn't exist. There were not environmental consultants in 73. That would be 50 years ago. In 1973, I was just graduating from college with a bachelor's degree. And I was doing environmental consulting work as a private person and as an undergraduate, working with my professors at University of California, Irvine. But we did not call what we were doing environmental consulting. We would call it aquaculture consulting, for example. That's one kind of environmental. We'd call it aquatic, which is water related. And we were doing work on the effects of nuclear power plants and gas-fired power plants on the ocean, specifically their effluent, the water that's used for cooling water going out into the oceans. And that would have probably been called environmental consulting if today, but then it had a different name. There was not an industry. There were no companies like Bechtel Engineering today, the Washington Group, Environ, AECOM, and any number of other now multi-million, if not billion-dollar companies that are in the environmental consulting world. Unfortunately, as it grew over these last 50 years, I strongly believe that it has been, and I'm going to use a tough word here, screwing its customers. I could use a worse word that starts with an F, but I'm not going to use that. In other words, the people who buy environmental consulting services, and that is private companies, maybe even private individuals, but government entities, those people are taken advantage of in terms of the price they pay to get advice, which is really what consulting is, from professionals in the environmental consulting area. And the reason I believe that is I know how these firms price. I used to own a firm that became very large. It's today called Atlas. It was called ATC when I founded it. And we tried to not overprice, but in things like asbestos, when it got really, really big as a problem, I don't like to admit it, but I'm guessing we probably overpriced. Some of the reasons that prices got too high was because an environmental consulting business, the real big ones today, they all have large offices, in many cases, many offices. They have fleets of vehicles. They have a big administrative staff. And therefore, to support all those costs, they charge clients more money to get their work done, their services provided, just so that they can, the owners of those companies, can make more money at the expense of the clients. By the way, law firms do a very similar thing, and they're maybe even worse about it. Accounting firms do similar things. Almost anybody that is providing an advisory service to clients, medical doctors do it to a certain extent, and they're providing a service. So we're changing that paradigm. EPN is going to be a company that doesn't have brick and mortar. There will not be any offices, so we won't pay that overhead. We will not have an administrative staffs. We're going to have a bunch of very smart expert consultants at all levels, people who are going out into the field and collecting samples, because that's their passion and that's what they've been taught to do. And they get paid a relatively small amount of money relative to the people who are the, quote, high-end educated professionals. But they get the clients get charged huge amounts of money. And we're going to stop that with EPN. So what we're doing is beginning a campaign of using LinkedIn mainly as a social media but also Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, other places where people watch and read things. We're going to recruit people who probably right now are working for one of these bigger consulting entities. Maybe they're working in a completely different industry and they don't want to be. They want to be doing something environmentally, ecologically. And the whole field of environmental is very, very broad. It's like economics, it might even be broader than that. And so we're going to have people join the Environmental Professionals Network for free, which you can do now. You're going to see on this page that Mark's got, and he scrolled through it a little bit. There's some numbers there. Ignore those. For at least the next 6 months, we're not going to charge to get at any level of membership. So we're going to be modifying this page. So what does it say right now, Mark? You aren't quite there. I think you got to go down a little further. Yeah, it's coming up right here. No, one more level farther. You guys hearing me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Here we are. Here's the three possible ways to get involved. You're going to see some costs down here. Keep going, Mark. You're not there yet. There. So free, that's a nice cost. It's nothing. And then the next one is not crazy, but 200 and something a year. And then students, I think, are 39. Keep going, Mark. There's another level of these. Look at this one. We're gonna charge a lot of money down the road, not right now. We want to populate this with as many people as possible in the very short term. Somebody, Bumi Olasanki, said, I'm going to quit now because I can't hear you. And I don't know whether that's just his, because people, would you throw in a one if you're hearing me all right? And seeing the screen. Actually, I think it's either Bunmi or Bunmi Olasakunami. Cool, man. Corey puts in a one. Let's see if we get some others here. So, Mark, did you pull up the Google Sheet for VidNet?
Because of my computer, my Google not letting me get in there. So even I got the password wrong, so it doesn't open. So I gotta figure out, you know,
then just go into Kajabi and go to what you would see. You'll have to go into the advisor membership category. And then show the spreadsheet that's there. So we're doing a bunch of things right now to prepare to have people be EPN members. And those members will form teams for projects where whatever their expertise is, they'll provide it if it's needed for that project. And if on the next project that's available, it doesn't need the services they provide, they won't be on the team. So that means we can charge less money. So if one of the big environmental consultants is going to charge $20,000 for a project to the client, we'll probably be able to do it for maybe $10,000, but certainly for as little as $15,000. Big savings for the client. And not only will it be cheaper, it'll be better, because most often these big companies, they got people right out of college who aren't really experts in anything. And they probably don't even have a degree in environmental sciences. Instead, they've got a geology degree, which isn't bad, by the way. Doesn't mean you can't do environmental things, but they don't have the skill set. And either they're being trained or they're not, but we're going to have members that already have exactly the skill set. So our clients, our EPN clients, are going to receive incredibly better service, cheaper service, and more predictable service, which is really what you as a consultant should be providing. The best price, the best quality, and the best consistency. And for those doing the work, something they can be proud of, which I know a lot of people that work for these big consulting firms, they are not proud of what they do. I can tell you that almost every project, and there have been thousands of them that I've worked on over the last 40 plus years, I am proud of the outcome. I'm proud of what we charge the client, and I'm proud of the consistency of our effort, and proud of the degree of service we provide. And EPN is going to do the same thing. So if you can, put in the chat, Mark, the domain, epncommunity.com. And then Mark is showing here in a minute one of the services that you're going to get for free. We spend a lot of money every year to get a service called BidNet. And it provides us with the information about every government solicitation that's being offered in the United States by cities, towns, counties, states, and federal agencies. And if you were to have to buy that through your own little consulting firm, you couldn't afford it. I almost guarantee it. Mark, the form you aren't on it. You have to scroll down. It's the bottom of your screen there. So we edit this every day. So look, stop, Mark, and you can read it. It's really small for me. Read what the first project is.
Okay, so environmental assessment, and then has a date on it, and then is it Travis County? Okay, maybe Travis County. And then, okay, gotta scroll this a little bit to the side. Then I get, okay, that's the maximum I can on this. Doesn't let me go further. But I think there was a way I can open up this spreadsheet from here. Okay, so this is all I can get.
Mark, I don't know why you're not able. I can see there's going to be another several more columns, everybody. One of them is going to give a priority. So we review this daily, and we rank projects from 9 down to 1, actually 10 down to 1. We don't have very many 10s, but there are a bunch of 9s, and that means those are ones we think would be ones that we really should try to put in a proposal for in a bid. But Mark's not able to scroll. I actually do see the numbers way over there on the right, Mark. I can't read it, but I see them there.
But this screen's not scrolling. But there was a link to it somewhere, I think. But anyway.
Well, this is all going to be updated, and this isn't really live for the public yet. We're just getting it finished. But that's one service that by becoming a free EPN member, you're going to get. Second, we are in the process of buying what's called environmental errors and omissions, or sometimes called professional liability insurance. That is very, very expensive. and rarely do small environmental companies buy it because it's too expensive for them. And we're going to make it available to all of the team members when they work on projects through EPM, or even if they're working on a project that isn't through EPM. And we probably will have to charge a little for that. But if, let's say, they're working on it just through their own little company or all alone as a solopreneur, one person operation, they'll be able to get this coverage for ridiculously less. I mean, so much so that it'll be affordable to them than they would without being a member of EPM. That'll only be available to EPM members. Thirdly, we're going to have health insurance that will be only available to EPM members, and you won't be able to get it in the same way or for the same price if you are not an EPM member. Huge benefit that people will be able to get. And Corey just said, I'm just finishing a 227 unit, I assume, apartment remodel. Very interested in how my construction and real estate background can help. It could be huge for us, Corey. By the way, Corey is in Iowa, and he is just beginning to build a food forest, or is, wants the plan done. And frankly, it's one that we're going to hopefully be helping him on because he's a EAT member and also now is also has joined as a free member of EPM. That's a great question, Corey, and there will be projects. I mean, I've done millions of dollars worth of work over the years with consulting projects in which we had carpenters, people doing construction type labor on those projects. And I'll give examples. To build a water treatment building, which are usually fairly small, but let's say convert a shipping container, for example, into a place where you housed water pumps and water filtration systems and water treatment systems for a certain project where you were cleaning up the groundwater. And the need to build that would have to be from someone who has construction skills. Asbestos abatement enclosures, which is something that's built before you start doing any asbestos abatement, that's construction work. And it doesn't need to be done by somebody who's a professional in removing asbestos. We call those asbestos abatement contractors. Instead, that work before you ever get to where you're disturbing the asbestos materials can be done by a construction company. And that's a better source to have it done. So clearly in the world of agriculture / aquaculture that is regenerative, aquaculture particularly, growing things in the water, if you're going to do it in an indoor environment, there's a construction need there. Maybe to build the greenhouse or to remodel an existing greenhouse, or to remodel a warehouse, or to build the tanks, or you name it, all kinds of construction needs. So we'll talk more specifics about those. Right now, though, we're coming up to the top of the hour. This has been a lot of fun for me. A little bit of technical difficulties, but hey, what would a webinar be without that? Tell everybody about this. Have them come to replays, which almost everybody watches these things by replays, not live. Become a little more vocal. There's a whole bunch of you out there and you could be vocal and you're being quiet. Robert, you usually ask all kinds of questions. And I know you're out there and you didn't ask anything today. You said you could hear all right. You did give us feedback there. Robert's one of our dear long-term members. of EAT. So EAT's not going away. EPN is a sub project of EAT. So if you were an artist, a musician, you know, and you had a band you played in, you would do projects that might be separate from that band. Right, Mark? Is that right? Am I describing that right?
Yep. Correct.
Mark is a drummer, and when I first met him before the pandemic, and as he said earlier, probably 2012, 2013, he was playing regularly in his band.
Yeah.
And then continued to do that. And then he had another baby. I think you already had your son by that time, right? He was young, but he was not very old at that point.
And then, right. I think he was 6 years old, probably. I'm not sure how old he was, but young, yes.
Has he followed in his dad's footsteps in terms of being a musician? Does he play anything?
No, he's got no interest in music. But my daughter is.
Oh, cool. very cool. Well, like I said, we're at the top of the hour. Who else has got comments or questions? We'll go to those. I'm done presenting. We'll pause here just a little bit.
So Cody says, looking forward to
phone conversation.
Right, phone conversation. Cool. Love all of it. Thank you. And no other questions. I see that Robert says, sound fine. And then some links from Alicia. Oh, here's a question. Any thoughts about Seven Layers of Food Forest?
You broke up a little. Seven layers, Mark?
Right. Seven layers of food forest.
Honestly, I'm going to learn from that. I'm not sure why seven versus nine layers of food forest or versus three. There maybe is a vernacular that I'm not aware of, even though I have built food forests and have them on my farms. But I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say layers of food forest. So that's new to me. We'll research that. We'll figure that one out.
Right.
I'm not sure. Mark, we might talk to Mark or Evan Folds or William Horvath or all of our other team members that have done series for us. Alan Booker?
Right. So. I may reach out to any one of those.
Yeah. Sorry we couldn't answer that. That doesn't feel good, but I'm not sure I know why we would say seven layers. Why am I not seeing that one? I see all of Corey's. Is that in the Q&A?
It's in the...
Oh, there it is. There it is. I see it.
It's the last question.
Oh, no, that's not what it says, Mark. Mark's a good... His English is amazing. Remember, Mark, everybody, Mark's in Bangladesh. This is not his first language. No, what it says is designing a forest garden on a seven-story garden. That would be something, and I don't know there's anything magic, Alicia, about seven. It could be nine. It could be 12. In our indoor gardens that we've built recently, they're eight layers. Eight layers meaning each layer is about a foot above the one below it. And at the bottom is where we have fish in a large tank, and then above that are places where we grow plants in layers. And sometimes you create layers because of the light, and there's different light at different heights, or possibly because of root size, possibly because of fruits that need to come on a vine-type structure. So if you had even tomatoes, and you wanted them to grow vertically, you might want to have them rooted down at the bottom of the system and let the stems grow upward, and then the plant, the fruit, the tomatoes grow at a higher or different layer, different site. So I haven't read that article, Alicia. We'll do it. We'll read it and then see more about what. So Chelsea Greens is a company that does food production on the tops of buildings. And we know those people. I don't know the founder, if that person's still there. That's a group we should talk to become a speaker. We've never had anybody from Chelsea Greens as a speaker. By the way, that's how it's pronounced. In the U.S. here, you wouldn't say Chelsea. I think how would that be said in London, Mark? Chelsea? But here in the U.S., Chelsea spelled that way would be just Chelsea.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought.
There's a World Cup or a Premier League soccer team called Chelsea. Chelsea's a fairly large city in the UK.
Hmm.
And they don't pronounce it C-A. They pronounce it C, Chelsea. Well, all right. I think that's all I see here. Thank you so much. Have a great day from Alicia. Oh, she does say seven layers higher. I don't know. I think that's what she means, though. I think that's what you were talking about, Alicia. And then she says, revealing the hidden journey of water. Mark, would you put that link in the... She was in here doing stuff, so we should have read this a little more carefully. April webinar on climate resilient measures for roads and other infrastructure. That's a good idea. Good one. Mark, I think that the chat carries over to Webinar Jam as we repost this. So I'm not sure the Q&A does.
Right. Yeah, I think I can get the documents and post it.
All right.
Yeah.
So the replay for this will be on our Eat community site, but it also, we now post on this system that Webinar Jam has called EverWebinar, where people could come on and say, I want to watch it right now. And they would be able to, just like they do inside Kajabi. But it's just another way for us to get a little bigger, find more people. We need a lot more people, everybody. We need to expose this whole process to way, way, way more people. All right. Love you guys. Sorry you're looking at the top of my head. I can't control this very well. I'll figure out over the next week how I flip the screen around. I know how to do that today. Love you. Appreciate all of you. Mark, take us out, my friend. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. I bet you enjoyed that immensely. That was one of our most amazing presentations here at the EAT community. Please look forward to our next podcast in the very near future, and we look forward to seeing you again on the EAT Community Podcast.